Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is the singular psalm which is authored by Moses and preserved from the time of Moses and added to the Psalter years later. We especially note verse 12 of Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. But we'll read Psalm 90 in its entirety. May God give us hearing ears to hear what he says to the church. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night, you carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Having heard the word of God, what is your response? Amen. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, on January the 1st, 2023, I doubt that any one of you set out with a New Year's resolution to say, by the end of 2023, I determine to be a fool. Did anybody have that resolution on the first day of this year? I don't think so. Not the children, not anyone who is a little bit older than children, and not any who are older yet. None of us set out in this year or in any time in our life to say that we desire to become a fool. That is not what we intend to do. But did you, on January the 1st, 2023, set out to be wise? Set out to be wise, to have a heart of wisdom? Well, we read in verse 12 of Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So 365 days have passed in 2023. And is your heart the wiser? Has the Lord taught you to number your days so that you may gain a heart of wisdom? Each one of us has a limited number of days which have been appointed to us. You can read, for example, in Psalm 139, that the days which are ours have been appointed by God and written in his book from before the foundation of the world. Not only is your birth date determined by the Lord, but so is your death date determined by the Lord. We all have a limited number of days. And God says that we should seek to be wise with regard to these days which have been granted to you and me. How may you gain a heart of wisdom? By God teaching you to number your days. And how does he teach you to do this? What does this look like for you? Well, let me suggest four things from Psalm 90 this morning, as the Lord would instruct you what it looks like for you to gain a heart of wisdom by numbering your days. First of all, recognize the unnumbered days of God. Recognize the unnumbered days of God. If your days are numbered, God's aren't. If your days are numbered, God's are not. We read in verses 1 and 2, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God contrasts himself with you. God contrasts himself with me. God contrasts himself with us. If we have a beginning of days and an ending of days in this world, God does not. He has no beginning and no ending. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the Alpha and the Omega, the everlasting one, the one who inhabits eternity. Try to wrap your mind around what that means. He inhabits eternity. God, the everlasting one, has days which are innumerable. He indeed is the one who has created days. He is the one who has created time. Time is his creature and days are at his disposal. And he is the everlasting one. And if you are going to learn to number your days, God must teach you to first of all recognize the unnumbered days of God. As you did not bring yourself into this world and did not appoint your own birth date, so neither can you be the one who upholds each day of your life. He is the one who has given you 365 days of 2023. We live and move and have our being in God. He is the only one who can sustain us and support us. He is the only one who indeed can give us life. And it is he, the everlasting God, in him, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. It is he that we must recognize as the one whom we need. We are finite. He is infinite. And so, if you are going to learn to number your days so that you may gain a heart of wisdom and not be a fool, you must first recognize the unnumbered days of God. Secondly, you must remember the fleeting days of yourself. You must remember the fleeting days of yourself. We read in verse 3, you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. Literally, return, O children of Adam. That perhaps reminds you of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, where God there pronounced the curse. Of the dust you are, and to the dust you shall return, because you have disobeyed me, because you have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore your days will be numbered, and death will be your lot. This is indeed contrasted with the everlasting God. God says to man, he says, return, O children of Adam, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past and like a watch in the night. Even if you were to live as old as Methuselah, 969 years, it is as nothing in God's eyes. For he sees all days alike and all at once. He is indeed the one who is everlasting, but not you and I. We must remember the fleeting days of ourselves. We are children of Adam, made of dust. Our lives will pass away like a watch in the night, like a sweeping flood. Our lives will come to an end as we are swept away. Our lives are so short, they are like a passing dream, and our lives, the brevity of them, are like tender grass which grows and then is cut by the mower, gathered in the bag, and thrown into the compost pile. This is what God says in verses 3-6. The brevity of our lives stares us in the face. Perhaps you are reminded of the fleeting nature of your life when you think of what God says in James chapter 5 and verse 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Yes, if you are to learn to number your days, if you are going to be a student sitting at the feet of the master and saying, Teach me to number my days. You must recognize the unnumbered days of God to whom you must give an account. And you must remember the fleeting days of yourself. This is indeed the first two steps to learning. Learning from the teacher to number your days that you may gain a heart of wisdom. But thirdly, God says that if you are to learn to number your days and so gain a heart of wisdom, you need to reflect on the wrath of God. You need to reflect on the wrath of God. We see this in verses 7-11 of our passage. And this section of Psalm 90 begins with the little word for. It's an explanation as to why our days are limited. It's an explanation as to why we will return to the dust. It is an explanation of the brevity of our life and what we face in terms of the uncertainties of life and the certainty of the day of death, which is coming for each one of us, even the youngest here today, the youngest child here today who perhaps doesn't think about death, must reflect upon the wrath of God. We read in verse 7, "For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified." It would be helpful for us to recognize again the human penman of Psalm 90, the human penman being Moses. And what is it that Moses saw? What is it that Moses was confronted with in the wilderness? What is it that Moses experienced in terms of God's just punishment of his disobedient people? Well, one author put it this way. This psalm expresses Moses' feelings as he saw the whole generation whom he had led forth from Egypt dying in the wilderness. Year after year, he saw that fearful judgment fulfilling, which Israel brought on itself by unbelief. God had said, "Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land." One after another, Moses saw the heads of the families whom he had led forth from Egypt laying their bones in the desert. For 40 long years he saw the strong, the swift, the wise, the tender, the beautiful, who had crossed the Red Sea with him in triumph, cut down and withering like grass. For 40 years, he saw his companions continually changing, being consumed, and passing away. Who can wonder that Moses would say, "For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath We are terrified. It is not a popular thing to reflect upon the wrath of God. And yet here, God would have you and me to reflect upon the wrath of God. You have set our iniquities before you, before your face. You have turned us to destruction. Our secret sins in the light of your countenance have been placed. What we thought we did in secret cannot be hidden from you and has not been hidden from you. And so in this psalm of God, in this portion of the Word of God, we only see the everlasting God. We see the ever-watching God who watches over us all and who sees all and who indeed takes note of our iniquities, our crookedness, our twistedness, our secret sins. It's in verse 9 that we read, "For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh." 70 years, maybe 80. That's what God says here. Those are the number of days which tend to be on the high side for people. That means some of you are living on borrowed time. But the Lord here would have us to reflect upon His opposition to evil, His holy hatred of sin. He would have you and me to reflect upon the very reason as to why our days are cut off. And it is because we suffer the consequences of sin, His holy, just hatred and opposition and determination to punish sin. We cannot miss it in this passage. And verse 11 says so profoundly, "Who knows the power of your anger?" Oh, God sees everything and will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Who knows how far the power of God's anger can reach and how deeply it can wound? Which of us can comprehend it? The damned in hell know it. But who of us? Who of us can calculate the reach of the power of God's anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. In one sense, there's a rhetorical question in verse 11. Who knows the power of your anger? The rhetorical question expects the answer, no one. And yet an answer is given. Your wrath is as the fear of you. It is immeasurable. There is no calculator, no measuring tape. There is no container which can calculate the wrath of the everlasting God. And therefore, the Lord would have us to learn something, to learn to number our days. Not only recognizing the unnumbered days of God, who has no beginning and no end, who is not only the creator of all things, but is the judge of all people. Not only remembering the fleeting days of ourselves, that we indeed are flying faster and faster towards a destination which is defined by the word death. But that we must reflect upon why we are headed there. It is because of God's just wrath against sin. The first sin of our first parents and our own personal sins. And so today, Today, God would have us to sit at His feet so that He can teach us. Indeed, this is the desire of the one who is touched by the predicament which is here described. And the desire is, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Do not let me presume upon tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. But as we have come to the end and close of 2023, may I today make sure that I am settled in my heart and my mind, that I'm ready. I am ready to meet you, my Maker. How does Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 put it? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. Don't put it off. Don't think that you have tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or next decade. And I speak particularly to the young people here today. It's so easy for children to put far off the idea of the day of death. It's so easy for teenagers to put it far off. I'm in the prime of life. I'm strong. I am invincible. It's so easy for those in their adult years, as they're raising a family, as they're looking for a spouse, to forget to number your days. It's so easy in the middle of life to be on cruise control. It's so easy at the end of life to think that death is still next week. But God says, reflect upon my righteous opposition to sin and death as indeed my executor. And that unless you are prepared to meet that executor in the person of Jesus Christ, the days of verse 9, the years of verse 9, will indeed not just be days under God's wrath and years finishing with a sigh, but they will be turned into an eternity of woe. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God if you are not prepared to meet your Maker. And God says this here is the teaching. These are the ingredients of learning how to number your days that you may gain a heart of wisdom, that you may gain a heart of wisdom. But there's a fourth ingredient as well. As God would teach you to number your days, don't only recognize the unnumbered days of God, don't only remember the fleeting days of yourself, don't only reflect upon God's wrath, but fourthly, reach out to God today. Reach out to God today. Isn't that how this psalm ends? It ends with verses 12 through 17. And verse 12 begins with that two-letter word, so. So what should we do? What should we do as we reflect upon the unnumbered days of God, as we remember the fleeting days of ourselves, as we reflect upon the wrath of God? What should we do? We should reach out to God today. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. As I said at the beginning of this sermon, nobody started this year and said, I have the goal this year to become a fool. And yet to not have this request in your heart is to be the fool. But as the apostle says in another place, I'm persuaded of better things of you, beloved. And so reach out to God today. reach out to God today. What does a heart of wisdom look like? It looks like reaching out to God, seeking the Lord while he may be found, seeking the Lord for what he alone can give. If indeed my days are numbered, if indeed my life is but a shadow which appears for a short period of time and then fades away, if this is my lot, as Psalm 39 and verse 6 says, surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? And it's here that the psalmist says, my hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. This is to seek the Lord for what he alone can give. He alone can give wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I must find my home and my refuge in him, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one who alone can give life and satisfaction. I must seek the Lord for what he alone can give. And look at verses 13 through 17. The cry of the heart. The cry of the heart which has been touched by the Lord, who is a student, a disciple at the feet of Jesus, who is seeking to grow in the fear of the Lord. We read, turn, O Lord. That's literally what it is. It says, return, O Lord, but literally it's turn, O Lord, turn away from your fierce anger against us. Turn, O Lord, turn. Turn away from your anger and turn again favorably unto me, that I may know the light of your countenance, the goodness of your grace, the wonders of your mercy. Turn, turn, O Lord, to us, and do not delay. Do you see that? Turn, O Lord, how long? Don't wait another second. That's the cry. I will not be satisfied with waiting until tomorrow or next week. Turn, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. Show mercy. Show the warmth of the womb to me. Show me that mercy which is tender and which cares for one who is facing a finite number of days, because I am one of the human race who has rebelled against you. Teach us, turn to us, do not delay, have compassion, satisfy us with your mercy, with your loving kindness. When? What does it say? Satisfy us early. Again, I speak especially to the young people here today. There is an earnestness here in terms of don't put off. I need to taste and feed upon your loving kindness early. Early, not late. Indeed, before it is too late. And so make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil, lest the days and years of evil become an eternity of evil and hopelessness. Oh, this is the cry, is it not? This is the cry of the one who sits at the feet of the master teacher, who alone can impart wisdom to our hard hearts, who alone can give us what we need, a dwelling place. A dwelling place, not in the grave, but in him. In him. And so the passage goes on, and verse 16 is critical. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory, your splendor, to their children. You see, if you are going to experience the turning of the Lord from his anger and turning unto you in favor, if you are going to experience the speedy turning of the Lord towards you to show you his compassion, if you are going to be satisfied early with his loving kindness, if you are going to be made glad for all your days, even in the midst of this veil of tears, then you must see his work. The work which only he can do. The work which he does in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be sure, Moses saw the work of redemption and bringing a people out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. But have you not seen so much more? Have you not seen so much more in terms of God and his love sending his Son to pay for your personal transgressions on Calvary's cross? That you would put your trust in him and know that all is well because you've seen his work. You've seen it and you haven't turned your eyes away, but you've been drawn to his work in the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, this is what is critical. Let your work appear to your servant as beautiful, as desirable, as that which I so desperately need and that which you so graciously provide. And so here it is then, the heart of wisdom being put on display, seeking after these things. And what does the next verse say? And let the beauty, cause the beauty of the Lord, the delightfulness of the Lord our God to be upon us instead of your wrath. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands, so that it be not vanity, and be not that which only rises up to condemn us on the last day, the day which you have appointed as the everlasting God. Establish us. And note that the one who is learning to number his or her days and growing in a wise heart doesn't just pray for himself or herself, but prays for others. You note how these petitions are, right? They're petitions for the people of God, that you would have compassion on your servants, that you would satisfy us early with your mercy, that you would make us glad, that your work would appear to your servants and your splendor to our children. To our children. Oh, is that not the cry of every parent here today? That your children would see the splendor of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. And so to be taught by the Lord to number your days, that you may gain a heart of wisdom, means you don't only pray these things for yourself, and you must, but you pray them for your brothers and sisters. You pray them for your children from in the womb to being born like Henry just this week, to their toddler years, to their elementary years, through their teenage years and into adulthood. And you pray to the Lord, remember your promises to my children, your name which you placed upon them in their baptism. Do not forsake them, but rather let your work appear to your servants and your splendor to our children. Yes. Here is indeed the everlasting God, the ever-watching God, the ever-righteous God who avenges sin, becoming the ever-gracious God to you. Personally. Not at arm's length. Not by hearsay. Not because dad and mom believe, or grandpa and grandma believe. But here is the everlasting, ever-watching, ever-righteous God becoming ever-gracious to you. As you experience the Lord's teaching and instruction, as you personally experience His teaching so that you may gain a heart of wisdom. And so here today, as we come to the last day, December 31st, 2023, the last day of this year, are you numbering your days? Has the Lord taught you to number your days that you may gain a heart of wisdom? You can do a lot of things with statistics. On average, 166,324 people die every day. That means that over the past 365 days, 61 million people died in this world. Now, to put that in terms which maybe you can understand a bit, think about it this way. That is the combined population of the state of Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island, Connecticut, I will say Massachusetts too, New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland. 61 million people, that's the combined population of those states. That's a lot of people. That means you could drive the corridor of I-95 from here to Washington, D.C., and any person which you see between here and there, that's how many people died in 2023. Do we wonder why God says that we should number our days so that we might gain a heart of wisdom? Oh, I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, the closing verses, where there we read these words which speak about wisdom versus folly. In Proverbs 8 and verse 32, "Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, watching at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." And so today, as the Lord sets forth before us a lesson on learning to number your days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, He teaches us to look to His work, His mercy, His turning, and His splendor as what we need as we close out this year, and not with presumption go into 2024, but with faith, turn the calendar and walk into 2024 and know that God will never leave me nor forsake me, no, not even for one day in 2024, because I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. And the prayer of Moses, these last verses of Psalm 90, are resonating from my heart. They're on my lips as my knees hit the ground and I pray to my God. May it be so for each one today. Don't let the year end without it being so for you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we have heard your word today, and our great hope and comfort is that you and you alone are our dwelling place. You, the eternal God, the ever-watching God, the ever-righteous God. You who have appointed your Son as the righteous Savior and sin-bearer of your people, that you are our dwelling place. We thank you and we praise you that you have given us your word and that you teach us not to be a presumptuous people, not to be a foolish people, not to be a self-focused people, but indeed to turn unto you that you might teach us to number our days so that we might gain a heart of true wisdom. We might redeem the time because the days are evil, and that we might know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so, our gracious God, draw each one here today tenderly to yourself, that this word from you would be very personal and very particular from the youngest here today to the oldest. Oh, gracious God, hear us. Answer us from on high to your glory, to your praise. You, together with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.